And as I mentioned earlier, we are continuing our series in the Ten Commandments. This is the second last message. And if you're just joining us or you haven't been here for the entire series, just wanted to reiterate the fact that the Ten Commandments are a reflection of God's character. God's commandments are never intended to restrict us. They are there to actually enrich our relationships, to enable us to live healthy lives as we follow the ways of God. And so these commandments really reflect the character of God. Today, as we look at truth and the importance of speaking the truth, we need to remember that our God is a God of truth. He is Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to God the Father except through him. So let's join together now and invite God's Spirit to speak to us, shall we? Let us pray. Father, we do thank you that you are holy and perfect in all your ways. We thank you that your commandments are a reflection of your holy character. Father, you desire us to live lives that are characterized by healthy relationships. You desire us to live in such a way that you are honored and other people are honored and respected. Lord, as we looked at the commandment last week regarding stealing and taking what does not belong to us, that commandment focuses on respecting the property of other people. Father, as we looked at adultery a few weeks back, that is a commandment that protects the sanctity of the family and marriage. And today, as we look at truth, we thank you that you are the truth. Your word is truth. It has authority over all people in all places at all times because it is the word of the living God. Father, we just ask your Spirit to encourage our hearts today, to challenge us, to help us through the power of your Holy Spirit to be the kind of people you desire us to be. And so we invite you just to speak into our lives now through your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. When people lie and engage in deceit, the consequences can sometimes be tragic. This was the case several years ago when a pilot with a Brazilian airline lied to cover his mistakes. Here is what happened. On September 3rd, 1989, Flight 254 was departing Brazil's Muraba Airport for a short 48-minute flight to the nearby city of Belém. Before takeoff, Captain Cesar Garcia typed his flight plan into the plane's computerized flight system. Unfortunately, Captain Garcia typed the wrong flight codes into the computer. Minutes later, Flight 254 took off and climbed to an altitude of approximately 29,000 feet. Instead of heading towards its intended destination, the plane turned west and headed deep into the Amazon forest. At this point, Captain Garcia knew something was wrong. By this time in the flight, he should have been able to see the Belém Airport. When flight attendants and passengers began to wonder what was happening, Captain Garcia lied. He announced that there was a power failure at the Belém Airport and the plane would need to circle the airport until the power was restored. Captain Garcia also lied to the air traffic control tower at the airport, telling them that he would be landing in 5 minutes. Rather than admit his mistake, Garcia also lied to the co-pilot. For more than 2 hours, he desperately searched the ground for an airport to land the plane. Finally, when the plane was out of fuel, Garcia made a crash landing in total darkness in a tropical forest. When the plane crash landed, it was more than 1,100 kilometers from its intended destination. Although all 6 crew members survived, 12 passengers were killed, and many more were seriously injured. The surviving passengers were rescued 2 days later. Because of his actions, Captain Garcia had his pilot's license revoked, and he was sentenced to 4 years in prison. As this story illustrates, there are consequences when people lie and engage in deceitful behavior. Today's message is part 9 of a series that I've called A Fresh Look at the Ten Commandments. Last Sunday, we explored the 8th commandment, which prohibits stealing and teaches us to respect the property that belongs to other people. The 9th commandment, which we're going to look at in a moment, goes a little further and teaches us to uphold the truth and also to uphold the reputation of others. Commandment number 9 simply says, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Scripture tells us that lying is detestable to the Lord. It is a sin that causes hurt and destruction. Today we're going to explore the precise meaning of the 9th commandment and the reasons why God hates lying. We're also going to look at what it means to honor this commandment in day-to-day life. Let's begin by seeking to understand the meaning of commandment number 9. What does God mean when he tells us not to give false testimony against our neighbor? Essentially, this commandment means two things. First, it originally referred to truthful testimony in a court of law. The original context of the 9th commandment was the courtroom. And of course, in ancient society, courtrooms were much different than the courtrooms we have today. In the Old Testament era, there was no forensic evidence, so everything hinged on eyewitness testimony. In the courtroom, the truth was extremely, extremely important. A lack of truth and justice in the courtroom led to a lack of truth and justice in the wider community. Although the original context of this commandment was the courtroom, the commandment extends far beyond the walls of a court. It calls us to be truthful and honest in all areas of our life. As Proverbs 24:28 says, do not testify against your neighbor without cause or use your lips to deceive. Before God, in the presence of God, we are always under oath to tell the truth. Let me give you a second meaning behind this commandment. God hates deception and dishonesty. Proverbs 12:22 says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. In Psalm 101, verse 7, God declares the following. He says, no one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. Lying is a serious offense to God for the simple reason that God himself is truthful. Truth is inherent within the nature of God. For that reason, deception dishonors God's name. On the other hand, honesty and integrity are traits that bring honor to the God of truth. There is a funny story I came across this week. And the story is about a guy who was out for a walk one afternoon around his neighborhood, and he noticed a sign in front of a house, and the sign said, talking dog for sale. Well, understandably, the guy was curious, well, what is this about a talking dog? So he rang the doorbell, and the owner told him that he could go into the backyard, and he could go see the dog for himself. So the guy went around the house, walked into the backyard, and started talking to the dog. He said, can you really talk? Yep, the dog replied. The man responded, so what's your story? The dog looked up and he said, well, I discovered my gift of talking when I was just a puppy. So I told the CIA, and in no time, the CIA had me sitting in rooms with world leaders because no one figured that a dog could be eavesdropping and spying on behalf of the United States government. But the travel really tired me out. So I signed up for a job at the airport working for the FBI, doing some undercover security work, and now I'm just retired. Well, the guy was understandably really, really impressed with this talking dog. So he asked the owner, how much do you want for the dog? The owner said, $10. The guy asked, are you serious? This dog is amazing. Why on earth are you selling him so cheaply? To which the owner replied, well, he's a big liar. He never worked for the CIA and he never worked for the FBI. You can't believe a word he says. I think he misses the point, doesn't he? At the heart of the 9th commandment is the following question. Can people believe the words that you and I say? As is the case with each of the Ten Commandments, commandment number 9 was given for our benefit and for the benefit of society. So let's take a closer look now at some of the reasons why God gave us the 9th commandment. Reason number 1, the 9th commandment is a reflection of God's character. Titus 1:2 says that God does not lie. Hebrews 6:18 goes one step further and tells us that it is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie because truth is inherent within God's nature. On the other end of the spectrum, while God is the God of truth, Satan is the father of lies. In John 8:44, Jesus referred to Satan as a liar and the father of all lies. When we talk and when we walk with integrity, we respect the God who embodies truth. God is truth, and that is why Christians believe that Scripture, the Bible, provides us with a basis for what is right and what is wrong. Scripture is the basis for absolute truth because it has been inspired by God, and everything God reveals is true. Interestingly, it was Christianity that gave birth to the modern science movement based on the belief that God and His Word reveals what is true about the world and about the universe. The pioneers of science, men like Isaac Newton, Louis Pasteur, and many others, believe that since God is truth, He must have designed the world to run according to physical laws that are consistent and rational. One author writes the following: "It was only because of our belief in a true and rational God whose laws could be trusted that the scientific age emerged in the Middle Ages. God's truth is the foundation upon which our world and our universe is built." Let me draw your attention to a second reason for the 9th commandment. Lying creates a destructive cycle in our relationships with other people. 1 Peter 3:10 makes this point when it says, "Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech." This verse comes in a section of Peter where Peter speaks about living in harmony with others. So looking at this verse within its context, we see the point that Peter is making. If we want to enjoy good, peaceful, healthy relationships, and if we want to experience the fullness of God's blessing, we need to pursue honesty as a rule of life. When a person lies to their friends or their spouse or their coworkers and gets caught in their lie, trust is obviously broken. God prohibits lying because it destroys the trust that is foundational to all healthy relationships. Now, before we move on to the next point, I want to mention one thing. Being an honest person does not mean it's acceptable to be brutal to others. Brute honesty is exactly what it says. It is brutish. Perhaps you have known somebody who maybe doesn't quite have a filter, right? They kind of say things that maybe are a bit offensive, and they excuse it by saying, "Well, I'm just telling the truth." Well, sometimes it's better to be quiet than to be brutally honest. For example, if you came up to me and you said, "You didn't really pay for this haircut, did you?" Or you said, "What an ugly shirt." Maybe it's true, but communication like that does nothing to benefit someone else. It simply leads to hard feelings. There is a way for us to speak the truth to others while maintaining a kind and gracious disposition toward them. Jesus was full of grace and full of truth. We need to keep those two things in balance. Here is a third reason for the 9th commandment. It protects a person's reputation. In the Old Testament book of Zechariah, chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, the Lord issued the following command: "These are the things you are to do. Speak the truth to each other and render true and sound judgment in your courts. Do not plot evil against each other and do not love to swear falsely. I hate all this, declares the Lord." In many ways, lying is one of those sins that really hurts people the most. When people lie about us, it can do irrevocable damage. People usually believe what they hear, so when someone spreads an untruthful rumor about us, we can be hurt extremely deeply. In the Old Testament world, a bad name or reputation was really a recipe for poverty. The ancient world was an honor-based society, so a bad name or a bad reputation would affect a person's ability to earn a living, and it could literally ruin their life. That's why Proverbs 22:1 says that a good name is more desirable than great riches. We can ruin a person's reputation, we can ruin their character by gossiping about them, by spreading inaccurate information about them. Commandment number 9 should make us think twice before we pass along information about someone else or before we talk about someone else. Is the information I'm passing along completely true? Is the information I'm passing along necessary and beneficial? Does it slander the character and the reputation of the person that I am talking about? God gave us the 9th commandment to protect the value of a person's reputation and their character. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Let me give you a 4th reason for this commandment. God wants us to tell him the truth about ourselves. He wants us to be honest about ourselves. Let me explain what I mean. When it comes to our relationships with other people, we all wear a mask to one degree or another, don't we? We don't want people to see us completely and openly because we fear what people might think of us. The more we trust someone else, the more open and vulnerable we can be. So when you have a relationship where you can fully trust someone else, you can be more vulnerable and more open with that person. When it comes to our relationship with God, God sees our heart. He knows our intentions. He knows our motives. We can't hide anything from him. Hebrews 4:13 says that nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. It's amazing, isn't it, that God knows. He knows my heart. He knows your heart. And he wants us to be honest about our own sin and our own faults, rather than focusing, as we often do, on the faults or sin that we see in other people. He wants us to take responsibility for our sin. The humble, honest person agrees with Jeremiah 17:9, which says, "The heart is deceitful above all things." And so the very first step in getting our lives right with God, the first step in salvation, is to admit that we are a people who sin, that we are a people who fall short of God's glory, that we need his grace and his mercy, and that grace and mercy has been offered to us through Jesus Christ. The 9th commandment points us to look inward at our own hearts and admit that we all stand in need of God's grace and God's forgiveness. It doesn't matter who we are, we all need his grace and his mercy. Well, a number of years back, a man named Josh Farron bought his first home. Josh worked for a local newspaper in Kentucky. He and his wife were excited. They had saved up just enough money to buy a small starter home for themselves and their 2 young boys. After picking up the keys to his new home, Josh took his first official look inside. And while looking around, Josh noticed a small piece of carpet sticking out of a little door in the ceiling at the back of the garage. So he was curious. He got a ladder and he climbed up to explore this unseen space. It was dark and musty, but Josh could see a black metal box hidden inside this little storage space. Josh took the box, he opened it, and inside he found $45,000 in cash. No doubt, many people would have kept all this money since it was unlikely that anyone would know about it. The previous owner of the house was deceased, and the deceased owner's son had just signed the house away. But Josh and his wife Tara knew what they had to do. This was not their money to keep, so they contacted the owner's son and gave all the money back. Commenting on why he gave the $45,000 back, Josh told a reporter, "Our new house needs renovation, and I could certainly use the money to update the house, but the owner didn't save that money for us. He saved it for his family. I never considered that money mine. You can't allow yourself to think like that." And when I read that story, I wondered how many people would be as honest as this man. Because of his example, his two sons have learned a lesson in integrity that they will never forget. Now, what about us? What about us? Practically speaking, how can we keep the ninth commandment? There are at least three specific ways that you and I can uphold this commandment in our day-to-day lives. First, to keep this commandment, we need to take control of our tongue, or at least ask the Holy Spirit to help us control our tongue. The New Testament expands our understanding of this commandment by instructing us to take control of the words we speak, the words we speak to others, and the words we speak about others. James chapter 3 describes the human tongue as a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the same tongue, we come and sing songs of worship to God, and then we slander and gossip about others. Whenever you and I engage in gossip and slander, we break the ninth commandment. Slander is essentially character assassination, when we say hurtful and damaging things about someone else. Gossip is the spreading of personal information about someone else, and often it's a mixture of truth and untruth. Gossip can be a means to hurt another person's reputation or to convey information that furthers our own agenda at the expense of someone else. Ephesians 4:25 commands us to put off falsehood and speak truthfully, for we are all members of one body. A second way we keep this commandment is to be free of any deceitful behavior. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, the Apostle Paul said, "We have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God." Anytime we attempt to deceive someone else by outright lying, exaggerating, or relaying false information, we fail to keep this commandment. Upholding the ninth commandment means that we need to be careful to have our facts straight when we speak to other people. And don't we live in an interesting age with social media where there's so many things out there that is really not true? Third, to keep this commandment, we need to uphold God's truth and strive to live it out on a daily basis. The final command Jesus gave his disciples and he gave to us is to be witnesses who testify to his life, death, burial, and resurrection. Acts 1 verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." In other words, as followers of Christ, you and I represent Jesus and his teachings. We are his representatives. We need to discern between sound biblical teaching and teaching that is either false or based on worldly wisdom. There is a huge difference between human wisdom and God's wisdom. Proverbs 16:25 says that there is a way that seems right to a person, but in the end, it is the way of death. In other words, there are human philosophies that sound right, or they might sound right, but in the end, they lead us away from God. Here are some examples. The world around us says, "Follow your heart." Jesus said, "Follow me." The world says, "Believe in yourself." Jesus says, "Believe in me." The world tells us to discover yourself. Jesus says, "Deny yourself." The world says, "Be true to yourself." Jesus says, "Be true to me." I leave you with this quote from Albert Mohler. It sums up the essence of how we can positively live out the ninth commandment. Albert Mohler writes, "God's people are a people of the truth. We are to honor and tell the truth, to defend the truth, and discern the truth, to love the Bible as the word of God that is truth without any mixture of error, and to stand for the truth." We are to uphold the truth even if the whole world disbelieves, hates, and subverts the truth. We are the people of the truth for one single and irreducible reason, because our God is true. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the ninth commandment, and as we end our journey next Sunday in the series on the Ten Commandments, we thank you for this particular commandment, which upholds the reputation of others. It enables us, when we speak the truth, to have healthy relationships with other people. And Father, when we live our lives with integrity and not deception, we testify to you, because you are the God of truth. We thank you this morning that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to God the Father except through him. Thank you that Jesus embodied grace and truth. He lived out the truth in a spirit of graciousness and compassion and kindness. Help us to do the same through the power and the work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts and our lives. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.